Our present meditation will be on the patience of God. We were last considering the humility of God, and especially his humility in becoming man. In other words, in speaking of Christ, we distinguish between his humility as the Son of God who became man, and then his humility as man, in which he revealed the humility of himself as God. Our present reflection is on the patience of God. There is no doubt in the Old Testament, and I checked the concordance, there's no question that the Old Testament often speaks of God's patience, especially with his unfaithful people. Nevertheless, the patience that we are here talking about is something which was only dimly foreshadowed in the Old Testament. In other words, it took nothing less than God to become man, to practice the kind of patience of which we are here speaking and on which we are meditating. Our scope in this meditation will be, first of all, to look at the meaning of patience, especially as this has been developed through centuries of the Church's reflection on the patience practiced by Christ, who is the Son of God. We may begin by observing that patience is the willing endurance of suffering. We may therefore somewhat loosely speak of someone being patient without actually suffering. Yet, the true meaning of patience implies, first, the experience of pain, which is suffering. That is why, properly speaking, we should not speak of animals as suffering. They have pain, but they do not reflect on, or in our human sense, are not aware of, do not, properly speaking, experience the pain. Only a person who has a mind and a will, who in enduring pain can suffer. It is by now we know people can experience agonizing suffering even though the actual physical cause of the pain may be minimal. This is not to say, not at all, that suffering is mainly, say, in the imagination. No. But unless I am aware, as an intelligent being, that I'm enduring pain, I am not, properly speaking, suffering. Secondly, not every animal, say, which has pain, suffers. Only human beings on earth can suffer. But while all human beings suffer, no exception, not all human beings suffer willingly. The mind, being aware of the pain I'm enduring, that's suffering. The will, accepting the suffering, that is patience. Understood, therefore, in this way, when the ancient prophets spoke of the patience of God, and they did many times, they did not, they really could not mean that God is God, could suffer, and then willingly endure the suffering and practice patience. The purpose that we've mentioned before for attributing human qualities, here patience, to God was to help the ancient Israelites to better understand who God is before, and this is the key, before God became man. Know the patience of Christ. With the incarnation, a totally new mystery of the Godhead was revealed. God, we believe, became man, and we have to use this purpose clause. God became man in order to suffer. Why suffer? Because, as we know, when man sinned, and God then inflicted all kinds of dire penalties on the human race as a result of sin, it already, in punishing man, that means the human race, for its sin, already in the third chapter of Genesis, which we sometimes call the first gospel, or even stronger, the primary gospel, or stronger still, the proto-gospel. Your gospel means good news, and the good news that God already revealed in the book of Genesis, that man the sinner would be redeemed. Now what God did, and this is our faith, all I can tell you, it takes simple, childlike faith to believe it, keep believing it, in spite of the sophisticated and overly learned objections by now raised by some of the strongest minds of those who may be having believed ceased believing. Namely, God became man voluntarily. God, with the use of his free will, the same free will which he exercised when he created the world, with his free will, God chose to become man. Then, having become man, and this is the real key, God became man, not only, though obviously, that he might have a human body in which he could experience pain, and a human soul that could suffer. And the two, body and soul, united so that he didn't have to, but God assumed a mortal, hear it, a mortal human nature, so that the body and soul united in Christ might be able to separate, which they did on the cross, and thus cause the man Jesus, who is God, to suffer the agony of death. All of that is true. God willingly assumed a human nature that could experience pain and therefore suffer. But the real lesson that I wish to get across in this meditation is not precisely that. Christ had a human body, we have a human body. He had a human soul, we have a human soul. Our bodies and souls are united. We are going to die. Christ also died. On all three levels, he experienced pain, so do we. But remember, we began by defining patience. It is not merely the experience of pain. Patience is the willing, the voluntary endurance of pain. The main reason that God became man was that he might have a human will. Let me repeat. The main reason God became man was that, like us, he might have a human will, so that as man, being capable of suffering, but having a human will, a free will, he might voluntarily, freely, willingly choose to suffer. And when we speak of Christ as choosing to suffer, we are saying far more than meets the eye. Being human beings, descended from fallen ancestors, we do not have a choice on whether we're going to suffer or not. We have to suffer willy-nilly, whether we want to or not. But Christ, being God, did not have to become man. He voluntarily, this is God, chose to take on our human nature, which would then enable him to suffer. But more still, having chosen to become man, and therefore capable of suffering. Might God have become incarnate? Might he have redeemed the world without the endurance of any pain? The answer is, absolutely speaking, yes. But is God, having justly laid on man the penalty for man's sin, then, out of love for man, this infinitely just God underwent in his own person the suffering that is God he had imposed on a sinful mankind? What are some of the lessons that Christ revealed to us by doing all that we've just described? First lesson, that suffering has a divinely ordained purpose in our lives. Remember the many chapters of the book of Job. Suffering, all kinds of misfortune befell him. His friends, quotation marks, gathered around him and told him, "Job, look, why don't you confess? Why don't you admit to God, I've got it coming? Then maybe God in his mercy will have pity on you." Job protested. Nowhere else in the history of divine revelation is pain, deep, agonizing, searing human pain, more graphically described than by the suffering Job. But coming as he did centuries before Christ, Job admitted, "I don't understand. I do not believe that all this suffering that I'm experiencing is God's punishment for my sins. But I trust God that he has a reason." Very well. God, centuries later, became man. Christ is called a second Adam. He is also called a second Job. Suffering has a divinely ordained purpose in our lives. Second lesson. By our ready acceptance of pain, we become more and more like God, who became man in order to endure suffering. Having been trained on the spiritual exercises from the novitiate on, when I was ordained and began to give retreats, naturally I would talk about suffering and pain and spend a meditation or two on the Passion of Christ. As I look back, however, say to myself, or I tell the Lord, Lord, how little did I understand what I was talking about. You must experience pain to understand it. And this is what faith tells us. We're scratching on granite. Well, that is why God became man, so he, God, might experience pain. And then, if like him, we not only experience pain, but voluntarily accept it, we become more and more like the God who, out of love for us, voluntarily underwent pain. Why? So we, out of love for him, might voluntarily endure pain. We go on. We are talking about patience, and specifically the patience of God. The value of our patience before God depends on the love which motivates us to suffer willingly. The ancient patient Stoics, oh, they were patient, all right. But you read Stoic literature, you read, for example, their leader, Seneca. In English, we have the expression, he or she is like a Stoic. Nothing seems to move him. Do you know there is such a thing as suffering and being proud of your capacity to endure? This is not the patience of God on which we are meditating. The patience that God endured and became man in order to be able to first experience suffering and then, with a human will, not only resign himself to the pain, or reluctantly endure the pain, but lovingly choose the pain, and in Christ's case, the most excruciating. One more lesson. The patience of God in the person of Christ should teach us that in God's providence, a patient endurance of suffering is the ordinary way in which sinners are converted to God. Where there is sin, there must be suffering. And we repeat, where there is sin, there must be suffering. Someone must endure pain in order that the sinner might even be reconciled with God, and then might expiate the debt of penalty due for the sins committed. And this, only a believing Christian can begin to understand. All right, they're liable to say, sinners deserve to suffer. Let them suffer. If that's the penalty for their offending a good God, they've got it coming. But that is not the lesson of the patience of God in the person of Christ. The lesson that Christ's patience teaches us is that someone must suffer. And there is such a thing, there had better be, otherwise there is no Christianity. There is such a thing as someone else suffering for the sins I have committed, and I suffering for the sins that others have committed against a just God. What Christ's patient suffering teaches us, many other things, but with emphasis this, there is a mysterious solidarity among the members of the human family which is why God became man to join the human family. So that the sin of one member of the human family can obtain from God the mercy the sinner needs by the suffering of another member of the human family. One more lesson before we go on. Christ's patience teaches us that by our patience, watch the word, not by our pain, not even by our suffering, but by our patience, we become more and more like Jesus Christ, who having joy set before him, chose the cross. I just wish I had preached and talked this way 25 years ago. I didn't realize. I'm sure I don't fully realize it yet. But no words can describe. But faith tells us the value of patient suffering out of love for God is the most precious treasure that man can possess in this world. Oh, the blindness of the human heart. With the short few moments that we happen to call years spent in this life, not to realize the priceless value of patient suffering in union with Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not finished yet. You might think, Father, we've got all kinds of spiritual implications. Oh, no. Seven more coming. What are some of the implications for our spiritual life? Beside the truths of faith and the lessons that Christ's patience teaches us. First implication. We are not to be surprised that suffering is part of our faithful following of Christ. Pardon the expression. This is kindergarten spirituality. Don't be surprised. That's the way it is. Second, we've been saying, and I want to, as far as I can, make it as clear as I can, there is a necessary relation between sin and pain. Sin, we believe, is an offense against the will of God. Our created will says no to the will of God. That's sin. Pain is the experience of something against our will. Hope I'm clear. There are two wills involved, the will of God and the will of men. Whatever is against the will of God is sin. Whatever is against the will of man is pain. Third implication. God sent pain into the world in order to expiate the evil of sin. In other words, had there been no sin, there would be no pain. But now, in God's, again, mysterious providence, He enables us to suffer in order that sin might be expiated. Fourth implication. Everyone suffers, but not everyone suffers willingly. Now the critical sentence. To suffer willingly is always to expiate the evil of sin. And we repeat. To suffer willingly is always to expiate the evil of sin. Either my own sins or the sins of others. And we don't have to read the Washington Post or the Chicago Tribune or the New York Times to know there are mountains, Himalayas of sin. Yet when my Jesuit confrere Francis Xavier, he had just possessed him for 10 years in India. He exhausted himself. 100,000 known baptisms that he personally performed. He kept writing back to to Europe, pleading with the easygoing, well-groomed, well-fed European gentry. How can you be lulling in ease and not doing all you can to keep souls from going to hell? All the patience we're talking about in this meditation, the willing endurance of pain, has a purpose. What's the purpose? To prevent souls from going to hell. That's why faith tells us God became man. One more implication. The more holy a person is, and therefore the less sin that individual, man or woman, has to expiate. Sin which they have themselves committed. The more innocent the sufferer, the more sinless the one who endures pain, hear it, the more pleasing that suffering is to God, and the more expiatory in the salvation of souls. Because, you see, it was the innocent Lamb of God, the all holy Son of God, who became man and who suffered. Needless to say, there were no sins of his own that he had to expiate. Very well. What are we being told? To become as holy as we can. I sure hope I'll be clear. So that when we experience suffering and patiently endure pain, our suffering, like that of Christ, will be sublimely effective in the eyes of God. We still go on. Often, too, in the providence of God, the patience we are called upon to practice with someone who is unkind, offensive, crude, maybe even cruel toward us. That is a normal way that God enables us to win grace for the one who causes us suffering. So by our patience with him or her, the graces that in God's ordinary providence that person would never receive, they will receive, provided we have been patient in enduring pain at the hands, the eyes, the lips of other people. Nothing in the world more closely unites us with Christ. Nothing. And makes us more like him. And then three crucial prepositions than to suffer for him, to suffer with him, and to suffer like him. Needless to say, in order to practice the patience that God expects of us, we must cultivate the habit of constant prayer. Why? To obtain the grace we need to endure. To obtain the grace we need, how important this is, to see the value of suffering. And to obtain the grace to unite what we experience with acts of love. And in so doing, endear ourselves to the patient Christ. A not too long prayer to our Lord on patience. My adorable Savior, grant me the grace to accept this trial from your hands, not only patiently, but cheerfully. You love sacrifices made in joy, and the perfection of my offering is to show gratitude when I am tried. Help me to see that the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. May I profit from this visitation of your mercy by resigning myself to your will and generously cooperating with the grace you offer to expiate my sins and grow in the likeness of you, my Lord and Redeemer. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.